97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Great weekend. Welcome into Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I'm Mark Cox, along with Bo Matthews and Carl Middleman.
Hello.
Here for another great segment of ways you can get out and support veterans and support the Second Amendment. It's going to be a fantastic show.
Trout season started.
I know.
We're going to have Tim Chelsvik on next week to talk about that.
Yeah, no, really, really looking forward to the fishing season. And yeah, we had a guest from the Department of Conservation that came on St. Louis Talks, and it's exciting. I mean, the weather's breaking. I mean, we're always going to have goofy weather, but trout season, trout fisher people, I hate myself, trout fishermen. You will absolutely love this season. I'm sure the trout are waiting for you.
Starting to worry about him.
I'm worried about me too.
Somebody been getting to him or what?
Fisher of men?
Fisher people?
Maybe he wants to become a priest.
I don't know.
I don't know. No.
What is it? I don't know.
Let's have a therapy session right here. That's what this Second Amendment radio show is all about. No, I do want to mention the Poker Bash is the 6th annual Big Dogs Poker Bash. And it's at Brookdale Farms in Eureka, March 27th. It's a Sunday. Your food is provided. Your beverages are provided. Yes. And it's like, you know, all kinds of beer and soda pop and all that stuff. Huge silent auction. And it's a huge silent auction. And a card game happens to break out. But we had a record year last year, Mark. We would love for you to play. And it's going to be a phenomenal event. And it supports the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund. You're thinking, well, I don't live in Eureka. Well, but maybe you go to Six Flags. Guess what? Eureka Police Officer worked that all the time. Anyway, find me on Facebook, Bo Matthews, or you can email me through the station, and I will get you the information. It's going to be epic. We just had the owner of Brookdale Farms. I'm sorry, the former owner of Brookdale Farms, because he just sold, bought a big yacht down in Florida. Yeah. And he donated like 5 days on this yacht for eight people.
Nice.
It's a $20,000 value. It's a record donation that we've received for this game. So anyway, great. And it's a real comfortable game if you play cards with your friends through the pandemic. 6th annual Big Dogs Poker Bash. I want to see you there.
Are they auctioning off any dog houses? Because I might need one.
Yeah. You know what? I'll work on that. I'll go down to the farm store.
Bo picked my wedding anniversary to schedule his big dog poker tournament this year.
Yep. My thought was, does Mark love me more than his wife? No, it wasn't. It was just a happy accident.
Got to get a kitchen pass for that one, Bo. You know how that goes.
So I saw this story about gun sales year to year down last year compared to 2020. I don't know what the reason is, but there was an article in the National Interest that's the headline was, did Russia's invasion of Ukraine drive gun sales in America? The answer is yes. The Putin effect is what they call it. Huh. Can you even believe that?
I guess I'm not surprised. When people feel insecure about something, even though the threat of invasion to the United States is, you know, not a thing, they go out and they find things that make them feel more secure.
Sure.
All you need to do for anybody who's ever said to you, why do you need a weapon with a 30-round magazine? Why do you need they falsely call an AR-15, an Armalite, a semi-automatic sporting rifle, a weapon of war and all this stuff. On every television screen the past 2 weeks, you've seen the living example of why our Second Amendment is so important, right?
Right.
People in the Ukraine, including female members of the legislature who'd never fired a gun before in their lives,
right,
were on TV talking about the fact that they're taking lessons on how to operate an AK-47 because they're going to have one issued to them so they can go out into the streets and fight.
And you can imagine how quickly that lesson is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
And this is, yeah, that's it. This is what
aim
you do.
Here, pull the trigger.
That's it. And that's frightening because it was thousands of firearms that they were just giving out to anybody that would take them.
I know.
And that's why we have, you know, that's why we have our Second Amendment. You can go to the gun range and practice and get comfortable. It's so necessary because you don't want a situation like that. But it is true. There's been a surge in gun sales in the last 3 weeks in America.
Put me in, coach. That's what a lot of those people are saying. They're like, I'm ready.
Well,
let's go.
Picture it. Did you see the UFC fighter, Byron Mitchell? They asked him at his press conference, so what do you think? And Carl, I wish I had sent you the audio, but he says, you know what? I'm not going to go anywhere outside this country to fight. He goes, if the fight comes to us, I will dig my boots in the Arkansas soil and I will fight here. And it was such an anomaly that he got that question at a press conference. It's a UFC fighter, for crying out loud.
I saw him either on Hannity. I think it was Hannity.
Tucker Carlson.
Tucker Carlson had him on there. And when they went to him, I didn't know who he was. I assumed he was a farm boy from Arkansas somewhere.
He is.
I didn't realize when I first saw it, I didn't realize he's also a UFC fighter. And when you heard him talk with that back, you know, with this deep Arkansas accent and all that stuff, I wasn't sure who he was or not, but he made it very clear that he would he'd fight and die for his country.
Yeah.
But he's not ready to fight and die in Ukraine, I think was his point.
Yeah, right? Well, he didn't want to fight for the politicians' war,
I think was
part of his quote. Anyway, impressive guy. I don't believe he's been canceled quite yet, but, you know, good dude. And just a real American. Just a real American.
A real American. We need some more real Americans. Can't you agree on that?
Ain't that the truth?
Well, you look at what's going on around the country right now, and it's sort of a little off the issue of the Second Amendment, but let's talk about the great outdoors for a minute. I love our national parks. I spent almost 2 weeks at Glacier last year. I love our national parks. But this whole issue of drill, baby, drill at home, which we've got to do, we have to do it. I think we're starting to see the edges crack around this administration. You've got the hardcore people who consider themselves the greenies who don't ever want to allow us to tap into the vast oil reserves we have at the Alaskan National Wildlife Refuge, or they didn't want Keystone to be put through because, I don't know, some sort of rare turtle was going to be washed out of a creek. They're lunatics. Jennifer Granholm, the energy secretary, came out this week and said we're on a war footing. She was talking to a bunch of energy executives, and we're in the middle of a historic time where we're, you know, sometimes you don't realize that it's history when you're living it, but we're transitioning. It's going to be the greatest transition in the history of the world to green energy.
Unbelievable.
But in the meantime, we need you to come alongside us and partner. So basically what she's saying is at least there an acknowledgement that at least for now, we're not ready to give up fossil fuels. In fact, I'd say we're 20 or 30 years from being able to give up fossil fuels and still be able to charge all of the batteries in these electric vehicles. We get 70% of our energy in the greater St. Louis area from two coal-burning power plants. We're not ready. And the same when it comes to the fuel to fuel up my diesel truck and my gas-burning cars. We need American energy independence right now, and we wouldn't be having the problems we're having by cutting off 10% of our oil supply with Russia.
Yeah, and what frightens me even more is the government at this point is going to try and negotiate through a Chinese negotiator with Venezuela. Is that the storyline you heard?
We need the Chinese to negotiate with Venezuela. We need the Russians to negotiate a bad treaty with Iran. That's where we are in the world.
Okay. If I'm out of eggs and I come to you in my neighborhood to go get eggs, and you have eggs, you can sell them to me or you can give them to me, right? That's the same analogy that if I go to a jail or if I go to a bad part of town and I'm trying to get eggs from somebody that's going to hold this over my head, why isn't that normal thinking? That you would negotiate with somebody that has, you know, taken over their tyrannical government in Venezuela. This is madness.
Analogy. I love that analogy. And here's what somebody pointed out today. Clearly, if we're going to deal with a dictator in Venezuela instead of a dictator in Russia, Joe Biden and his administration don't mind pumping oil out of the ground. They just don't want oil pumped out of the ground in the United States. How does that make any logic at all?
Look at all the firepower being shot over Ukraine. What's that doing to the environment?
Oh, John Kerry's worried about that.
Oh, is he?
More than the Ukrainian people, he's worried that Vladimir Putin will not respect the fact that war has a damaging effect on the climate.
You know, as people were fleeing for their lives from Ukraine, I did see him picking up plastic bags off.
Did you really?
Straws.
Now, I'm glad he's doing his part. Ugh. Did he fly over there in his Learjet to do that?
You know that? No, he went over in a boat. Boat and paddle.
Hey, you know, coming up, we got a heartwarming story for you, a way you can help veterans and first responders and other people who need that extra loving touch from an animal. We're talking about support dogs. There's a great fundraiser that's near and dear to Bo's heart because he's got some food named after him at the restaurant. But you're going to hear more about that. You're going to hear more about that coming up here in just a couple of minutes.
All right. And we'll also be talking to State Rep Nick Schroer, who I consider the Chuck Norris of our state government. Coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Great Outdoors. I'm amazed every time we do this show. Carl Middleman, producer.
Yeah.
Music extraordinaire. What is that song?
This is Atomic Dog by George Clinton and P-Funk.
I was expecting Who Let the Dogs Out.
That was
so
my first.
See,
that would have been too predictable.
I am above your expectations.
And my expertise, as usual, exactly. Mark Cox, Bo Matthews, and a big event going on. I just learned about this event. There's an organization called Dogs That Help, and their website, dogsthathelp.org. And Mark, I want to introduce you to Luke Reinhold, a guy that is really passionate about what he does and hopefully feeling better, because when I talked to you the other day, you were kind of down. Are you feeling better?
I'm feeling a lot better, thank you.
You sound fantastic, man. You're ready for the weekend.
I am.
Well, we got a great event going on at a great restaurant. Mark, I don't know if you've ever been to Hillsboro, but there's a place down there called Saucy's. And it's been Women's Business Week and International Women's Day this week. And this woman has three restaurants, and she is a boss. I mean, she knows how to run a restaurant. Saucy's is the place. I've got my name on the menu.
That's the hook. I wondered what was going on here.
It's the Bo Matthews Blue Cheeseburger Pizza.
Cheeseburger pizza.
And you've never brought one of these in before? Come on.
Blue cheeseburger pizza. Anyway, Saucy's right there at B and 21, Old 21, I guess it would be. Luke, we'll talk more about the event. Tell us about your organization, Dogs That Help.
Well, we started 6 years ago. It's a 501c3 not-for-profit. And what we do is we provide... We provide service dogs to disabled veterans and first responders for free.
And what exactly do those dogs do in these sessions?
I'm 100% disabled veteran myself, and what my dog does for me, she helps me with PTSD, depression, mobility issues. I have bad back and knees, and I have non-epileptic seizures, and I fall. She alerts on my seizures. She posts. She'll stiffen up so I can climb up, use her as a bench to stand back up. She pulls me up hills and stairs and steadies me as I go down. And we have a retrieval that if I tell her to find mama, to find my wife, no matter where I'm at, she'll search till she finds my wife. Then my wife says, find daddy, and she brings her back to me to get me the help I need.
Wow. It's like that's like something out of Lassie.
Exactly.
Or a Budweiser commercial.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
And thank you for your service,
yeah, no
first
kidding.
Of all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
You know, I don't have a lot of experience with what you do, Luke, beyond the fact that in the past I have worked with a group called Wounded Warriors who provide dogs to veterans. And the training that these dogs have to go through is incredible, and the cost of getting one of these dogs trained is also a lot of money. What tell us about that, and what does it cost you to get one of these dogs ready to help a veteran?
We're very lucky. We've got a whole host of volunteers. We're based out of the Tom Rose Dog School in High Ridge, Missouri.
Okay.
Students come from all over the world to become dog trainers at that school. And some of the students each session volunteer to train dogs for us. It usually takes between $15,000 and $25,000 to train one service dog for a veteran.
And how many dogs have you guys trained over the years?
In the last 6 years, we just placed our 49th dog.
Wow. We have nine in training
right now, and we just put three more into training.
Well, thank you. Thank you for what you do. So part of your cost, I'm assuming, is offset by the fact that you have access to these fantastic individuals who are willing to volunteer for you.
Most definitely. One of the neat things about our organization is not a penny goes to a human. We all volunteer. All the money that comes in goes to the upkeep and well-being of these dogs.
But your scope of help is outside of veterans as well. You do help others in need as well, right? Non-military?
Yes, we do. We place three dogs. Our main core is military and first responders.
Sure.
If we find somebody in need that really cannot afford a dog, we try our best to raise the funds and place a dog with them. In fact, we placed a dog with a 13-year-old young lady out of Verdon, Illinois. Her service dog is Koa. She's got cystic fibrosis. She actually wrote a book. It's called Koa Goes to School, about her service dog, and had it illustrated, and you can buy it on Amazon.
Wow.
Bo, I'll give you a copy on Sunday if you come out.
Yep, I will be out for sure. Yeah, and let's talk about Sunday, because you guys do operate on funds provided by people that donate. Hopefully you have some good corporate sponsors, but Shannon Cruz at Saucy's, again, she's a great mom on top of that. She reminds me a lot of my mom. Female business owner, I said female business owner, and you know, got kids, and she's always giving back to the community. She's also providing all of the meat at our poker bash March 27th. Go to Bo Matthews on Facebook and find out how you can get signed up to play a Texas Hold'em with us. But she's involved, and we go way back. And so Saucy's does a great job. What are you guys going to be doing on Sunday at this event that starts at noon?
We'll have 50-50 raffles. We've got Glenn Orton is coming to play music for us. We'll have baskets to raffle off. We'll have a couple for a silent auction. Great food and just a great time. There's another thing we're doing to raise money for. It's called Veterans Promise Kept PTSD Ride. It started in 1967 when Jesse Morton and Ray Cropper left the Pennsylvania horse farm and went to Vietnam. During the Tet Offensive of 68, they were taking heavy fire and made a foxhole promise that if they ever got home from Vietnam, they'd go coast to coast in a covered wagon.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately, Ray didn't come home. So Jesse, 31 years ago, built a wagon and headed east. 100 days later, he made it to the wall in D.C., the Vietnam Memorial Wall, and ended that trip east at Ray's graveside at Beverly National Cemetery in New Jersey. So he made it to the East Coast.
Wow.
I met Jesse at the VA hospital 30 years ago. I'm a Desert Storm vet, and I came back a little messed up, and Jesse got me the help I need. So he's like family to us.
And how is this event connected to your organization?
We raise awareness on this wagon trip to four Dogs That Help and Two Love Equine Assistance Program while we're going cross country and helping Jesse fulfill his promise. This year is our last year. We travel for a month at a time in a horse-drawn covered wagon.
Wow.
And we're starting in Flagstaff, Arizona this year on April 16th, and we're heading till we hit water on the West Coast.
Wow.
To fulfill.
On the East Coast or the West Coast?
West Coast.
Oh, okay. Going the other way. Okay.
Yep. 4 years ago, we left St. Louis and did 413 miles from St. Louis to Belleville, Kansas. Then went from Belleville, Kansas to Colorado Springs, 433 miles.
Good for you.
We dropped down to Cimarron, New Mexico, and started at Philmont Scout Reservation to avoid some mountains.
Uh-huh.
And we last year, and we went 615 miles to Flagstaff, Arizona.
How sore was your back when all that was done? I watched 1883 and watched those on a covered wagon, and they were having to drive over ruts and everything, but still, that's a rough way to ride, isn't it?
It is.
But you're tough.
Yeah.
None of us are young anymore.
Yeah. Luke Reinhold with us with dogsthathelp.org, and they're having that fundraiser this weekend. I just want to ask one more thing here, Luke, just to kind of drive it home for people. I watched a United States veteran, and I believe, I may be wrong here, I believe that he was an Army Ranger when he was in, but he was one of those guys who was about 6'4", looks like he could kill you with one finger. And he stood up in front of this crowd and he cried when he started talking about how important that dog was to him. What does this mean to people when you can train one of these animals and give it to them?
For me, my dog gave me my life back. Hmm. I got a little story. I got a phone call from a veteran's wife and she was crying. I mean, hysterically crying. And asked her, "Hun, what's wrong? Are you okay?" She goes, "Yes, I'm fine." I said, "Well, what did he do?" Meaning he asked her disabled veteran husband. She said, "Luke, he didn't do anything." And me being a husband, I said, "Well, what didn't he do that he was supposed to?"
Yeah.
She said, "Nothing. Just stop and let me explain." I said, "Okay." And she was still upset. And he said, "I just want to tell you thank you. Forgive me, my husband and my kids are dad back." That's what the dog does.
So well said, Luke. Man, that's so impressive. We know dogs are awesome and they can change a life, but when they're a therapy dog and they can help with a true mission, that's what this event is all about. Again, Shannon Cruz and her crew at Saucy's Pizzeria in Hillsboro. Dine and donate. She'll be donating a portion of the proceeds between noon and 5 this Sunday. And I may even go by. Is it egotistical to go get my own pizza with my name on it?
Do you get a discount? Do you get the bow discount that would have to ask for when
discount.
I go to Saucy's?
I don't get a percentage off my name being on that dang menu, but it's a great pizza. Anyway, Luke, hope to see you on Sunday. And anybody out here listening, plan Sunday at noon to 5 at Saucy's in Hillsboro. Good luck to you, sir.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Yep. Dogsthathelp.org is the website to find out more.
Luke, pleasure to get to talk to you, sir. Thank you for your service
Thank
to our
you.
Country. Yeah,
also, you can find us on Facebook at Dogs That Help. And if you want to follow us on our trip, you can go to Facebook to Veterans Promise Kept PTSD Ride, and you'll see a picture of our wagon and the horses right there on the thing. And we're doing live feeds every day, so you'll be able to go along on the trip with us.
Excellent. All right. Luke Reinhold, we appreciate your time, my friend. Coming up here on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, we're going to talk to our friend, State Representative Nick Schroer. He just had a big success in Jeff City this week with a Second Amendment bill that you're going to want to know more about. We'll be back in just a minute.
Talking Dogs.
Amen. 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 Take me to church. I'll worship like a dog at the shrine of your life. I'll tell you my sins and
wow,
you can shout.
Love that choice.
Very nice. We're going to talk about going to church in just a minute, right, Bo?
Yes, we are.
Yes, sir.
This segment brought to you by and proudly Razorback Armory, your gun concierge. If you need gunsmithing done, if you need accessories, firearms, ammo, it's a small store, but man, they really have been arming America really well. Check them out at RazorbackArmory.com. Get all information. You can make an appointment like you're getting your hair did. You can actually make an appointment and go in and get their undivided attention on what your subject is. Thank you to Razorback Armory also for supporting our poker bash.
Absolutely. Going to be a great time out there. Still hoping I can make it, Bo. I'm still working on that. Got to get a kitchen pass.
That's a big job.
It's the weekend of my anniversary. Do you understand that? My wedding anniversary is that weekend. Bo wants me to be gone all day Sunday to be playing poker, and it's for a great cause.
It is. It is.
But you know how that goes. Good. Hey, you know what? This week we talked about the Second Amendment on 2A Tuesday on my show, and the issue was whether or not we could concealed carry in more places. And that's kind of been the goal for a number of years for a lot of the legislators. And we've got State Representative Nick Schroer on the phone with us right now from St. Charles County. He was my guest on Tuesday talking about his legislation, because the Post is really concerned about people, Second Amendment lovers like Nick Schroer. Nick, how are you?
I am wonderful. I'm honored to be on with both of two of my favorite people on 97.1.
Aw. Hey, feels like you got a W this week, doesn't it?
Hey, a lot of W's. We got a couple of our bills are getting sent over. Second Amendment bills of mine are being sent over to the Senate. We are just hoping and praying that the Senate will grow up, stop their fighting. Leadership will be able to bring these bills that many Missourians want, get them up for debate, and send them to the governor's desk.
Sounds like we need some new leadership over there. Maybe Senator Nick Schroer. What do you think about that?
Well, that's exactly why I'm running to replace Senator Dr. Bob Onder, who's termed out this year. And, you know, the many different leadership roles that I've played in my career, whether it's, you know, in college football, high school wrestling, and the Federalist Society and law school Republicans, it is definitely time that we have better leadership, people that can actually defuse the situation and get the job done, get the task done for the Missouri people.
Amen. Well, for the longest time, I love the fact that Missouri got concealed carry. I went out and took my training immediately, even though it was tied up in court for a while way back when. Finally got my concealed carry license the minute I could. It has stuck in my craw that I come to certain places where I want to go, where I think if I'm going to feel a need to protect myself, this is probably it. Public transportation might be one of them, the rare times that I take it. And I'm not allowed to carry my concealed carry license because, of course, criminals pay attention to the law, apparently. I didn't know that.
Oh, you can carry the license. You just can't carry your firearm.
Oh, yeah, that's it. So Nick has been working on a way to fix that. Tell us about your bill that got approved this week.
So I've been working with a good friend of mine in the St. Charles County area, Representative Adam Schnelfing. Senator Bob Onder also has this legislation to allow for concealed carry weapons to be used on public transit. And we amended that bill to include a bill of mine that would allow concealed carrying in church. Now, previously, it is the law today that you have to have a pastor or the landowner's explicit permission to bring your guns in. You know, God forbid somebody had brought a gun in their purse or something like that under the current law, because it is criminal. And, you know, if I just bring a gun into a Schnucks and somebody says, no, this is a gun-free zone, I get sent away. And if I don't leave, that's just mere trespassing. So these bills would basically allow law-abiding citizens to partake in their very sacred right. That's the right, their God-given right for self-defense. And it was very interesting that the opposition that came out, these woke, they call themselves religious leaders, opposed the bill to allow law-abiding citizens to carry their guns and protect themselves and their families. But in the same breath, they were talking about how many threats their churches or religious institutions have had, death threats, buildings being shot up. One pastor even went so far to say, yeah, I don't trust my congregation to have guns on them, but I have to carry an AK-47 behind the pulpit. That's just, you know, it rules for me, but not for thee. So it's something that we're trying to crack down on and honor people's Second Amendment rights, law-abiding citizens. These laws that are in place, the criminals do not abide by it. We've seen in states like North Carolina, Texas, and some other terrible, terrible instances where these criminals go into gun-free zones, whether it's a movie theater in Colorado, churches in Texas, and it's always the good guy with the gun standing up, protecting his flock, and that's what we're trying to do here in the state of Missouri.
It's good. I'm glad to hear it. So it would. How about MetroLink? Like, that's the first thing that pops into my mind.
Before we jump to the public transportation, I do want to stick on churches, if you don't mind, Mark.
No, go ahead.
Because I understand that a lot of religious leaders or pastors or ministers, they have their own armed security. It almost sounds like a Cori Bush kind of thing, you know? it is. And I heard you on your show this week bring up the actual Texas church where there was a former FBI agent, I think he was, in that church. Somebody comes in with a shotgun. He did kill people, but he was also killed himself because somebody was ready. Somebody, you know, had the training. And again, you if the guns are there, for a bad reason, you've got to have people that are good intent to be there to protect. Otherwise, it's going to be a massacre everywhere you turn.
It's a great point. And Nick, part of what you heard from these leftists and these woke people is, and the Post-Dispatch had an editorial about it, was we don't want to be in church surrounded by armed people. Well, guess what? If I've got my concealed carry weapon on me, you don't know it anyway.
Exactly.
But if the crap hits the fan, you're going to be glad that I do.
Well, that's why some of these religious leaders in my area, in St. Charles County, have come out and said, look, the law requires us to be the arbiter, that we're supposed to dictate who can and who can't carry. We don't want that. And by the way, we know that half of our people are already carrying. We don't want them to be criminalized something does happen.
Right.
So to me, it's common sense. We've seen in other areas where these gun-free zones are being targeted. We've seen where institutions, whether it's a religious institution, a business that allows guns in their place of business, they are the ultimate deterrent effect to a weak, spineless criminal who just wants to prey on those that are vulnerable.
There's a lot of cash rolling through these churches, and that's why a lot of these church leaders have their armed security, hired guns, if you will, to protect them. And the cameras, they're like cambered up like casinos anymore.
Well, they
anyway,
have to be.
On to your public transportation subject, because I think this is fascinating.
Well, it is. I mean, they still haven't figured out this problem with public transportation in St. Louis. They've tried to address it, but anybody can walk onto any of the trains. There's rarely an officer on every train. Many of the people that they do have on there are unarmed because they're not allowed to carry weapons. And Metro seems that, although they've given it some attention verbally, I don't know how big of a difference that they've made. And I've often thought, if I'm going to take it, I'm providing my own security. And your bill would allow that, correct?
Absolutely. And that's the bill that got sent over to the Senate with many other good Second Amendment pieces. But, you know, we look to, I think it was last year, 2021, when we saw a security guard at the Metrolink, the same exact Metrolink that when I grew up in Ferguson, Missouri, that's the one I would take to different venues at the Savas Center or Enterprise Center to go see the Cardinals games. And there was a security guard not allowed to carry a firearm, was targeted by criminals and killed. And this is a father, husband, incredible citizen that, you know, if he would have had that Second Amendment ability to protect himself and his family and combat these criminals that have no regard for the law whatsoever, he would still be here today.
Or to have another citizen on there to assist if they are armed. When you say public transportation, it narrows it down a lot. Does that mean buses? Does that mean the trolley in the loop?
Yes,
is there
absolutely
a trolley in the loop?
Well, it's there. I don't know if it's running.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I don't think that trolley is going to be there by the time this bill gets to the governor.
No, don't say that.
Absolutely.
But we're not talking about planes. We're not talking about Amtrak. That's not on your list, correct?
No, just buses, Metrolink, and other forms of public transportation, but not planes.
Yeah, good. Did I also see in there, Nick, where there's a it would lower the concealed carry age to 18?
Yes, in many instances, you look at other states that we have reciprocity with, and these other states are allowing 18-year-olds who are able to be shipped off to war. You know, look no further than Mark Schmitz, his son Jared Schmitz, the Marine from Wentzville that ultimately lost his life untimely, and he would have turned 21 just a couple weeks ago. But other states are allowing 18-year-olds the ability to legally carry, legally conceal. So it makes no sense to allow, let's say, a citizen from Florida who comes in who's 18, we allow out-of-state residents to conceal carry at a certain age, but not our citizens here in the state of Missouri.
Well, in this fight, as this bill is being sent to the Senate, is there anything that people that support the Second Amendment and listen to this show, is there anything that we can physically do, write a letter, write an email, call anybody? What can we do to help this cause?
Amen, amen, amen. Take me to church, I worship like a dog at the shrine of your light. I'll tell you.
We're going to talk about going to church in just a minute, right, Bo?
Yes, we are.
Yes, sir.
This segment brought to you by, and proudly, Razorback Armory, your gun concierge. If you need gunsmithing done, if you need accessories, firearms, ammo, it's a small store, but man, they really have been arming America really well. Check them out at RazorbackArmory.com. Get all information. You can make an appointment like you're getting your hair did. You can actually make an appointment and go in and get their undivided attention on what your subject is. Thank you to Razorback Armory also for supporting our Poker Bash.
Absolutely. Going to be a great time out there. Still hoping I can make it, Bo. I'm still working on that. Got to get a kitchen pass.
That's a big job.
It's the weekend of my anniversary. Do you understand that? My wedding anniversary is that weekend. Bo wants me to be gone all day Sunday to be playing poker, and it's for a great cause.
It is. It is.
But you know how that goes. Good. Hey, you know what? This week we talked about the Second Amendment on 2A Tuesday on my show, and the issue was whether or not we could conceal carry in more places. And that's kind of been the goal for a number of years for a lot of the legislators. And we've got State Representative Nick Schroer on the phone with us right now from St. Charles County. He was my guest on Tuesday talking about his legislation, because the Post is really concerned about people, Second Amendment lovers like Nick Schroer. Nick, how are you?
I am wonderful. I'm honored to be on with both of them. Two of my favorite people in 97.1.
Aw. Hey, feels like you got a W this week, doesn't it?
Hey, a lot of W's. A lot of W's. We got a couple of our bills are getting sent over. Second Amendment bills of mine are being sent over to the Senate. We are just hoping and praying that the Senate will grow up, stop their fighting. Leadership will be able to bring these bills that many Missourians want, get them up for debate, and send them to the governor's desk.
Sounds like we need some new leadership over there. Maybe Senator Nick Schroer. What do you think about that?
Well, that's exactly why I'm running to replace Senator Dr. Bob Onder, who's termed out this year. And, you know, the many different leadership roles that I played in my career, whether it's, you know, in college football, high school wrestling, and the Federalist Society and law school Republicans, it is definitely time that we have better leadership, people that can actually defuse the situation and get the job done, get the task done for the Missouri people.
Amen. Well, for the longest time, I love the fact that Missouri got concealed carry. I went out and took my training immediately, even though it was tied up in court for a while way back when. Finally got my concealed carry license the minute I could. It has stuck in my craw that I come to certain places where I want to go, where I think if I'm going to feel a need to protect myself, this is probably it. Public transportation might be one of them, the rare times that I take it. And I'm not allowed to carry my concealed carry license because, of course, criminals pay attention to the law, apparently. I didn't know that.
Oh, you can carry the license. You just can't carry your firearm.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's it. So Nick has been working on a way to fix that. Tell us about your bill that got approved this week.
So I've been working with a good friend of mine in the St. Charles County area, Representative Adam Schnelting. Senator Bob Onder also has this legislation to allow for concealed carry weapons to be used on public transit. And we amended that bill to include a bill of mine that would allow concealed carrying in church. Now, previously, it is the law today that you have to have a pastor or the landowner's explicit permission to bring your guns in. You know, God forbid somebody had brought a gun in their purse or something like that under the current law, because it is criminal. And, you know, if I just bring a gun into a Schnucks and somebody says, no, this is a gun-free zone, I get sent away. And if I don't leave, that's just mere trespassing. So these bills would basically allow law-abiding citizens to partake in their very sacred right. That's the right, their God-given right for self-defense. And it was very interesting that the opposition that came out, these woke, they call themselves religious leaders, opposed the bill to allow law-abiding citizens to carry their guns and protect themselves and their families. But in the same breath, they were talking about how many threats their churches or religious institutions have had, death threats, buildings being shot up. One pastor even went so far to say, yeah, I don't trust my congregation to have guns on them, but I have to carry an AK-47 behind the pulpit. That's just, you know, it rules for me, but not for thee. So it's something that we're trying to crack down on and honor people's Second Amendment rights, law-abiding citizens. These laws that are in place, the criminals do not abide by it. We've seen in states like North Carolina, Texas, and some other terrible, terrible instances where these criminals go into gun-free zones, whether it's a movie theater in Colorado, churches in Texas, and it's always the good guy with the gun standing up, protecting his flock, and that's what we're trying to do here in the state of Missouri.
It's good. I'm glad to hear it. So it would. How about MetroLink? Like, that's the first thing that pops into my mind.
Before we jump to the public transportation, I do want to stick on churches, if you don't mind, Mark.
No, go ahead.
Because I understand that a lot of religious leaders or pastors or ministers, they have their own armed security. It almost sounds like a Cory Bush kind of thing, you know? It is. And I heard you on your show this week bring up the actual Texas church, where there was a former FBI agent, I think he was, in that church. Somebody comes in with a shotgun. He did kill people, but he was also killed himself because somebody was ready. Somebody, you know, had the training. And again, if the guns are there, for a bad reason, you've got to have people that are good intent to be there to protect. Otherwise, it's going to be a massacre everywhere you turn.
It's a great point. And Nick, part of what you heard from these leftists and these woke people is, and the Post-Dispatch had an editorial about it, was we don't want to be in church surrounded by armed people. Well, guess what? If I've got my concealed carry weapon on me, you don't know it anyway.
Exactly.
But if the crap hits the fan, you're going to be glad that I do.
Well, that's why some of these religious leaders in my area, in St. Charles County, have come out and said, look, the law requires us to be the arbiter, that we're supposed to dictate who can and who can't carry. We don't want that. And by the way, we know that half of our people are already carrying. We don't want them to be criminalized something does happen.
Right.
So to me, it's common sense. We've seen in other areas where these gun-free zones are being targeted. We've seen where institutions, whether it's a religious institution, a business that allows guns in their place of business, they are the ultimate deterrent effect to a weak, spineless criminal who just wants to prey on those that are vulnerable.
There's a lot of cash rolling through these churches, and that's why a lot of these church leaders have their armed security, hired guns, if you will, to protect them. And the cameras. They're like camered up like casinos anymore.
Well, they
anyway, on to your public transportation subject, because I think this is fascinating.
Well, it is. I mean, they still haven't figured out this problem with public transportation in St. Louis. They've tried to address it, but anybody can walk onto any of the trains. There's rarely an officer on every train. Many of the people that they do have on there are unarmed because they're not allowed to carry weapons. And Metro seems that, although they've given it some attention verbally, I don't know how big of a difference that they've made. And I've often thought, if I'm going to take it, I'm providing my own security. And your bill would allow that, correct?
Absolutely. And that's the bill that got sent over to the Senate with many other good Second Amendment pieces. But, you know, we look to, I think it was last year, 2021, when we saw a security guard at the MetroLink, the same exact MetroLink that when I grew up in Ferguson, Missouri, that's the one I would take to different venues at the Savas Center or Enterprise Center to go see the Cardinals games. And there was a security guard not allowed to carry a firearm, was targeted by criminals and killed. And this is a father, husband, incredible citizen that, you know, if he would have had that Second Amendment ability to protect himself and his family and combat these criminals that have no regard for the law whatsoever, he would still be here today.
Or to have another citizen on there to assist if they are armed. When you say public transportation, it narrows it down a lot. Does that mean buses? Does that mean the trolley in the loop?
Yes,
is there a trolley in the loop?
Well, it's there. I don't know if it's running.
Okay,
anyway.
All right. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah,
sorry.
I don't think that trolley is going to be there by the time this bill gets to the governor.
No, don't say that.
Absolutely.
But we're not talking about planes. We're not talking about Amtrak. That's not on your list, correct?
No, just buses, MetroLink, and other forms of public transportation, but not planes.
Yeah, good. Did I also see in there, Nick, where there's a it would lower the concealed carry age to 18?
Yes, in many instances, you look at other states that we have reciprocity with, and these other states are allowing 18-year-olds who are able to be shipped off to war. You know, look no further than Mark Schmitz, his son Jared Schmitz, the Marine from Wentzville that ultimately lost his life untimely, and he would have turned 21 just a couple weeks ago. But other states are allowing 18-year-olds the ability to legally carry, legally conceal So it makes no sense to allow, let's say, a citizen from Florida who comes in who's 18. We allow out-of-state residents to conceal carry at a certain age, but not our citizens here in the state of Missouri.
Well, in this fight, as bill is being sent to the Senate, is there anything that people that support the Second Amendment and listen to this show, is there anything that we can physically do, write a letter, write an email, call anybody? What can we do to help this cause?
Well, I think the biggest thing is use your voice, whether that's emailing the senators that are in charge of bringing this bill up, and that's Senator Schatz and Senator Rowden. Those are the leaders in the Senate. Or you can say the shotgun method, so to speak, on this topic. It's perfect analogy. But, yes, put as many bullets out there. Contact senators. Let them know how important this is. Use social media. Tag the senators.
There you go.
And just keep pushing. Write letters and make your voice ultimately be heard. And that ultimate get this to the governor's desk.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that, because we know what's going on the Senate side. You guys don't have any control of it. Nick, I saw where this bill passed 101-40. Doing the math here, does that mean some Republicans voted against it?
I believe some did. I don't exactly know why. I know there are certain ones running for county executive in St. Louis County that have been voting against some common sense Second Amendment measures. But we also gained some Democrat support. So this is a true bipartisan bill, even though not every Republican supports it for whatever reason. We did end up getting some Democrats that know the importance of the Second Amendment, especially in these high crime areas like St. Louis and Kansas City.
So just to be clear here, do you know whether or not Shamet Dogan voted against it?
I believe he voted against it. I will retract my words if he voted for it, but I'm fairly positive that this against that, as well as some other measures in regard to voting ID that were passed by the body.
Yeah, that's good. Well, listen, Nick, I hope this gets through the Senate. There's a lot going on over there. I don't know if we've got you in a time crunch here or not, but we don't even have redistricting dealt with yet. And they've kind of set that aside briefly to concentrate on some other things. You got spring break coming up. Are you worried that we're going to get a bottleneck here at the end of the session again because we've got this redistricting hanging over everybody's head?
100%. 100%. And I think, you know, now you factor in the lawsuit that Paul Berry, who's running for Congress, or has indicated he wants to run for Congress, Paul Berry has filed a lawsuit because these maps, we don't know if we're going to base it off of the current boundaries, if we're going to allow the courts to give us a deadline. So you factor that in, and the infighting, like I stated before, true leaders would be able to defuse the situation and get all of the team players in a room, knock heads together like I've done many times before, and say, look, we're fighting for the people of Missouri. We're not fighting for the Republican Party. We're not fighting for the establishment lobbyists. We are fighting for the people of Missouri. Let's get out there. Let's continue to push this work, like the Second Amendment bill, like redistricting, sending as many conservatives to D.C. to take that gavel away from Nancy Pelosi. But, I do fear that after spring break, we are going to have a very volatile situation in the Senate because of all of these very important things that need to get done in a short period of time.
Yeah.
Keeping up the fight. Hey, real quick, when we instruct listeners that want to support this bill, I want them to be able to reference the bill. What is the number? What is the name of it? How can we make sure the message is correct?
So I'm not sure which one they will bring up in the Senate, but the two main carriers of bills are Adam Schnelting, St. Charles County legislator, mm-hmm. and Senator Bob Anders. So either of their bills dealing with concealed carrying on public transit. Myself and Ben Baker have some other standalone bills dealing with the concealed carries in churches. That could come up right after spring break, and we'll load it up, too, with all of the same bills that got on. But the two that are in the Senate's possession right now are Senator Onder and Senator Schnelting's bills dealing with Second Amendment.
I love it. Okay. Who I consider, and I think it's ironic, the Chuck Norris of our state government. This is Nick Schroer, and I mention that because at the time of the taping, it was Chuck Norris's birthday.
Oh, nice. Have you ever done a roundhouse kick, Nick Schroer? That's what we're going to know.
I have, yes.
Nice.
And are you like Chuck Norris? You don't do push-ups. You actually push the earth down?
I didn't want to say that and divulge too much information.
Okay, well, yes, I'll brag for you. And the beard. How about the beard? My goodness.
I love it. Hey, Nick, thanks. Keep up the good
like
fight,
Ryan O'Reilly.
Oh, yeah.
With more teeth.
One more tooth.
More teeth and a hell of a lot less money.
Yeah, there you go. Nick, listen, we appreciate the hard work on the part of the Second Amendment down there. Keep up the fight, my friend.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you for having me. And I'll be in touch. Hopefully this bill will get to the governor's desk in the next couple weeks.
Excellent.
Good luck, man.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. State Representative Nick Schroer, also a candidate for Senate out there in the St. Charles County.
The Chuck Norris of our state government. You like that?
Pushes the earth down. I do like that. I like that a lot. That's good. That's good news. Be sure you call your senator, whoever that happens to be. Tell him to get this bill done. We need this done. To shut up some of these whiners who support criminals, apparently. They don't support law-abiding citizens, that's for sure.
All right. Great week. Have a great rest of your weekend, and thanks for listening to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors.
Absolutely. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.